You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
Let me mention a couple of prayer requests. I mentioned Dale Boyce Sunday, and I actually got a text from Debbie, his daughter, Monday night, that said that that they were looking at signing a DNR, and but she told me today that he's actually doing incrementally better. I'm guessing that's a little bit better. We're encouraged as the doctors. The doctor who tempered our hope in the beginning is now guardedly optimistic. So keep praying for Brother Dale. He's still in ICU. But doing some better. Also, James McCann in our church. James, they put him on hospice. And so if you just pray for Brother James. And, of course, he's down at the Veterans Home in Bossier, but Miss Lorraine is his bride, and so be praying for her. I want to mention a quick prayer request. I'm almost certain that Trey is on here. Yes, other hospitals on the front page. Trey Davis, brother of Lisa Stewart. Trey's a year younger than me, so he's 45. Trey's had some pretty significant liver issues and has been on a liver transplant list for the last 2 months. They said this is a 3-month deal. If you don't get a liver in 3 months, then we start planning a funeral is really how this thing works. He's a little over 2 months into this 3-month journey. Two livers have already been offered that his doctor said no, these aren't. One was a 60-year-old guy that already had some disease in his liver, and another one was not good either, was diseased. a young man died yesterday, and Trey got his liver last night. And so they were in an 8-hour surgery last night. I talked to his wife this afternoon, and he is still on the vent. They're trying to get him off the vent. He's in a hospital in New Orleans. And so every time they pull him off sedation, he's pulling at stuff, and so they're keeping him sedated. And so this, I just told her, this is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that everything goes well, that he's able to get off that vent and the sedation and really be able to recover. It's a big surgery, and so just pray for Trey and his wife, Stacy. And they have two girls, and so just be praying for that family. But his mom, Sharon Davis, is in our church. His sister, Lisa Stewart, is in our church. And then she's got two other siblings, Kyle and Amy. And so Trey and I are really good friends growing up, lived in the same neighborhood, and did a lot of running around. And he knows a lot of things that he can't say about me. And so anyhow, pray. Pray that when he comes out of his, he'll have some amnesia-type stuff, right? The good news is while Trey was in the hospital here, Trey got saved. And so we praise the Lord for that. And, you know, we've talked about this. Anything that brings us closer to Jesus can ultimately be bad for us, right? And so God used this. Didn't say that he made it happen, but God used this to bring Trey's heart closer to him. So, wow, I'm having. All right, so let's remember those as we pray tonight. I want us to look at Psalm 95 this evening, and I have to check with Hunter to see which ones he's gone through in my absence. And he told me he's never read Psalm 95 in his life, so I'm guessing he hasn't done it. So I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. I'm grateful for Jeff and Hunter covering for me, and I will just be honest with you, the next few weeks, I have opportunities more and more to preach revivals and do different things. I'm going to be in Bastrop at Bonita Road next Wednesday night preaching a revival, The Wednesday night after that, I'll be in Scottsdale, Arizona, with our North American Mission Board. And then the following week, I'm preaching Sunday night through Friday night in Northeast Louisiana at a cluster revival. And so they get a bunch of churches together. I preach at a different church every night. And so so there's a lot of opportunities. What that does is it Wednesday nights, it pulls me away from here. And so anyway, I apologize for that, but I know that you're in good hands, either with Hunter or Jeff, and they'll tag team in these next few weeks in my absence. So I appreciate that so much. So we're talking on Sunday mornings about just those things in our life that we push off, the things that maybe confront us, and we think, hey, well, we need to do better with that, and we wait till tomorrow. We say, well, I'll do that a better time or better season in my life. And we talked about Bible intake. What's cool is I had a man tonight, had one Sunday night or Sunday morning, quote his verse to me, his January verse to me in my prayer room. Just had a guy this evening when I walked in, and he just started quoting scripture to me. He said, that's my January verse. And I got a text today from a lady in our church that she said, Brother Gavin, will you call me when you get a chance? So I called her. And this is a lady. They're empty nesters. Kids are raised out of the house. And she said, my husband and I haven't read the Bible together in years, but ever since you challenged us a few weeks ago about Bible intake, said we have been reading together every night in God's Word. And she just said, hey, all I want to do is thank you. I know you hear other things. I want you to know that God really used that message to encourage us to spend more time in God's Word. And so that was our first one, was Bible intake. This past week was service. And I know we hit you Sunday. I did in the message. And I tell you, I'm not going to shame you. That's not the intent of any of that. But I want to challenge you. And sometimes in that challenge, that pat on the back's a little bit lower. And it's more than a kick than a pat. And sometimes those kicks in the pants are better than pats on the back. And we had a lot of folks say, hey, sign me up. I want to serve. I want to be a part of a ministry team. I want to do something. And so we sent a text out today, and several more people said, hey, sign me up. I want to be a part of this. And so so it's really important in our lives as believers to serve the local church. And by doing that, it's the body of Christ. We serve the body of Christ here locally. And I realize for some in this room, you're like, well, you know, I really don't know what to do or how to do it. And we want to come alongside you and help you with the gift that God's given you and really allow you to be a gift here to the local church. So it's not a handful of people, but we want to turn that 20% into 80%. And so anyway, we want to encourage you. So if you haven't responded to that or text the word serve to get plugged in, please do that. And our staff are calling this week. Emails went out to those who have asked already, and so we're trying to get you connected in some of those places. And so the next thing I want to talk tonight is tonight. It's in Psalm 95. It's worship. When we think about disciplines of our Christian life, we think about those things in our life that we practices that we put into our life that draw our heart, draw our attention, draw our face to the Lord. And the psalm writer in 95 talks about worship in that way. And so I want to read Psalm 95, just give you some things. This is obviously not going to be a Sunday morning sermon because we really love being intentional about praying. But we're going to worship tonight as well. And so so I want you, let's read this, and let me go through and kind of put it in a couple of sections and unpack it for us tonight. Maybe just give you some thoughts as we walk through these verses, and then we have our prayer time, the last half. And so I got 13 minutes, and I want to have intentionally give you the other half to pray, all right? Look here at verse 1. Oh, come, Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. So that's the first section, verses 1 and 2. You may just bracket that. We're going to come back and talk about it. Look at verse 3. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. So those three verses, that's the next section. And then look at verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship. Bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. That's the next section, 6 and 7. And then verse 8 picks up the last section. Look at what it says. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so let's look here at this. I believe it is really making a statement. The very first two verses, Psalm writer uses the word come. It's drawing our attention in, but it was crazy. It's two different Hebrew words. The first word for come in verse 1 is to walk or to carry oneself, and so to move or to walk. The second come in verse 2, where it says, let us come before his presence, that come literally means to walk into or to enter into his presence. And so listen what the psalm writer is saying. He says, listen, in the busyness of our lives, turn your attention and come into the presence of God. That's really what worship is. It doesn't have to happen in a sanctuary. It can happen in the quietness of your home. It can happen in your car driving down the road. It can happen wherever you are, where you turn your heart, turn your attention, turn your face, and come into the presence of God. Jesus did it all the time when he would come into the presence of the Father. He would go up on a mountain. He would move away from the people, the crowd, the disciples even, and he would steal away in those moments early in the morning. Oftentimes, they would always be looking for him, and he was gone, but he was not alone. He was in the presence of God, and he oftentimes tells us, I had to spend time with the Father, and he stole away, and you see him coming into the presence or entering into the presence of the Father. And the psalm writer is saying that, come. What does that mean? It means I've got to turn away. I've got to take time on a regular basis to turn away from something. If I'm to come after God or come into the presence of God, I've got to step aside from something in my life. There has to be an intentional time in my life that I turn away from that I'm following after. We talked about Bible study. We talked about quiet time a couple of weeks ago. This kind of goes into that. Worship can be incorporated into that time where you spend time alone in God's Word and you come into the presence. And literally what the psalm writer is doing is inviting us in. Now, watch this. He uses this word twice talking about how we are to come. Did you pick it up? Let us shout joyfully. Look at verse 2. Let us shout joyfully. So he uses that same phrase, let us shout joyfully. First one, to the rock of our salvation. Let us shout joyfully. The second one, to him with psalms. And so the invitation is for us to turn away and to come into the presence of God joyfully. The invitation to come with an open heart and to come joyfully into the presence of God. And then check out this next one. So I want you to write down come in those first two verses. The main topic or the main phrase of, or the main word in those two is just the word come, C-O-M-E. Now look at verse 3 through 5. The next word is for, F-O-R. For is why, it answers this question, why should we come? Why should we turn away from our life, our issues, our problems, our busyness? Why should we turn? What for? Why should we do that? And then in verses 3 through 5, he tells us, he says, listen, this is the God who's created everything. This is one whose hands have molded the heights and scooped out the depths. This is his hands that have created everything that is around us. And watch this. He's not just worthy to be praised. He's the only one worthy to be praised. He sets him apart. Look what he says. The Lord is the great God in verse 3 and the great King above all gods. You know, there's gods in our lives. Work can be a god. Family can be a god. Our hobbies can become gods. There's gods in our life. And the psalm writer is saying, listen, you and I are to come for, we come for because he is the only one worthy of our worship. Excuse me. Look at verse 6. The third word's worship. The psalm writer writes it here. Come, oh come, let us worship. And then he shows us worshiping. He shows us this posture of humility in verses 6 and 7. We read it. Bow down, kneel before the Lord, for he is our God. And it's just this posture, he is God. So we're making a statement, all right? Come for worship. That's the next verses. The intent here is to bow down, to humble ourselves, to come and worship God because he is God. So in a moment, Hunter's going to lead us in worship. We're going to have a time of praying, but we're going to have a time of worship. And I want to encourage you to come and bow down, to kneel before him. While it can be the posture of our physical body, the most important thing is bowing, kneeling before the Lord is posturing our heart and literally saying to God, I am not, and you are. You're the one that's in control. You're the one that's worthy to be praised. And it literally is a posture of humility. Come for worship. Look at the next verse. The second part of verse 7. Today, if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. And he speaks about the children of Israel that for 40 years they hardened their heart, and there was a season in their life where God's presence was not as important to them as God's provision. You know, there's moments in every message that are the key moments, all right? You just heard it. The children of Israel spent 40 years, a season of their life, 4 decades of their life, where God's presence was not as important to them as his provision. When you look at the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness, what did they do? They were constantly complaining about their provisions. God provided everything for them, manna from heaven. And what do they say? I'm sick of this, right? God cooked it fresh out of the kitchen of heaven and brought it down every morning to them. And what did they say? No more manna. I don't want this junk. This is horrible. And then he said, well, I'm going to make quail come out of your noses. Or, I mean, I'm going to send you meat then. And then they complained. And there was rock that provided water. And Moses as a leader. And clothing that didn't wear out. And shoes that didn't wear out. And they became more focused on what God provided for them than coming into his presence. How often are we guilty of that? Then our focus, our attention, even our prayers, the majority of our prayers are things we need. We think of the blessing and spend more time worrying about the blessing than we do worshiping and coming into the presence of the blesser. In Psalm 95, the writer is saying, hey, listen, come for worship today. This is not something we put off till tomorrow. Maybe you and I have had a season of drought long enough where we have worried about the provisions of our life rather than spending time in the presence of the one who is the giver of our life. And the writer of this psalm is saying, listen, come into his presence. He invites us in. Turn away from the struggles of our life, the hindrances of our life, the distractions of our life, and come because he is worthy, and humble yourselves in worship, and don't wait and do it tomorrow. It's time to do it right now. That's what Psalm 95 is all about. Don't be like the children of Israel who stack year upon year, decade upon decade, where all they worried about was the stuff instead of the one who is providing the stuff and coming into his presence. And so I want us to do that tonight. I want us to come into his presence. I want us to spend time tonight praying and worshiping King Jesus, because he is worthy of our praise. And sometimes on Wednesday night, you may get distracted by things that are going on. And I know 30 minutes may be one of those things you're like, I get bored in that. I want you to fight through the distractions that are going on in your mind of things that you have to do tomorrow and the rest of the week, and really turn away from that and come for worship today. It's time for us to come and into the presence of Jesus, okay? And so let's do that. Hunter, come on up. I want us to spend some time in solitude and silence. Let's just let our hearts, our minds, get into the attitude of worship and maybe even to a neutral where we can just sit and get our heart ready. And so I want us to spend what will seem like some very significant time, but just 3-4 minutes, just in silence, getting our heart ready. I'll open us up in a time of prayer. Hunter will intermingle worship in this. And then I'll just kind of focus seasons of prayer tonight for us to focus in and pray over certain things. And so let's begin.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.